Chapter 46. Dr. Otis Coley inserted a Du Maurier cigarette in a gold-tipped filter, clamped it between his dentures, and lit it. Then he resumed poking through the open access panel into the electronic heart of the RSV. "Damned clever, the Americans," he said, impressed with what he saw. "I've read scientific papers on it, but never seen one up close." Coley, director of the Quebec Institute of Marine Engineering, had been recruited by Henri Villon. He was a gorilla of a man, barrel-chested and had a rounded, heavy-browed face. His white hair passed his collar, and his mustache, beneath a thin, sloping nose, looked as if it had been clipped with sheep shears. Brian Shaw stood beside Coley, his face clouded with concern. "What do you make of it?" "An ingenious bit of technology," said Coley in the tone of a young man engrossed in a Playboy fold-out. "Visual data is translated and sent by ultrasonic sound waves to the mothership, where it is encoded and enhanced by computers. The resulting imagery is then transferred to videotape with rather amazing clarity."
"So what's the scam?" grunted Fosgly.
He perched boredly atop a rusty winch mounted on the blue fishing boat's foredeck. Shaw fought to hold down his temper. "The scam, as you so apathetically put it, is that these cameras were transmitting pictures when you brought them on board. Not only have the people on the Numa ship been alerted to the fact that they're being watched, they also have our faces recorded on videotape."
"How does that concern us?"
"Their project director is probably whistling up a helicopter this minute," Shaw replied. "Before nightfall, the tape will be in Washington, and by this time tomorrow, they'll probably have identification."
"On you, maybe," Gly said, grinning. "My partner and I kept our face masks on, remember?"
"The damage has been done. The Americans will know we're not local divers looting a wreck. They'll be aware of who and what they're up against, and we'll take every precaution." Gly shrugged and began unzipping his diving suit. "If that mechanical fish hadn't interrupted us, we could have laid the charges, blown the hulk, and left them precious little to salvage."
"Bad luck on our part," said Shaw. "How far did you get?"
"We'd barely started when we saw lights coming from over the stern."
"Where are the explosives?"
"Still on the forecastle of the wreck, where we stored them."
"How many pounds?"
Gly thought a moment.
"Harris and I made 6 trips each, towing 200-pound sealed containers."
2,400 pounds, Shaw totaled. He turned to Doc Coley.
"What if we detonated?"
"Right now?"
"Right now."
"Weight for weight, tricinol is 3 times as powerful as TNT. Coley paused to stare across the water at the Ocean Venturer. "The pressure waves from its explosion would break the back of the Numa ship."
"And the Empress of Ireland?"
"Demolish the bow section and smash in the forepart of the superstructure. At that point, the main force would be absorbed. Further aft, a few bulkheads might buckle, a few decks cave in."
"But the central section of the wreck would remain intact."
"Quite correct," nodded Coley. "Your only accomplishment would be the mass death of innocent men."
"Little sense in pursuing that quarter," Shaw said thoughtfully.
"I'd certainly want no part in it."
"So, where does that leave us?" asked Gly.
"For the moment, we tread softly," replied Shaw. "Sit back and observe. Also find us another boat. The Americans are no doubt onto this one."
A look of contempt crossed Gly's face.
"Is that the best you can come up with?"
"I'm satisfied, unless you've got other ideas."
"I say blow the bastards to bits and end it now," Gly said coldly. "If you lack the stomach, old man, I'll do it."
"Enough," Shaw snapped, his eyes fixed on Gly. "We're not at war with the Americans, and there is nothing in my instructions that condones murder. Only carnal idiots kill unnecessarily or wantonly. As for you, Inspector Gly, no more debates. You'll do as you're told." Gly shrugged smugly in acquiescence and said nothing. He didn't have to waste words. What Shaw didn't know, what no one knew, was that he had inserted a radio detonator in one of the tricinol containers. With the press of a button, he could set off the explosives any time the mood struck him.